And now, live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan, it's Aggie Nation, covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Welcome to Aggie Nation, powered by Eagle. It helps if I turn on everybody else's microphones, probably. We are brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the events coming to the new season that dreams are made of at MSCOpus.org, including an announcement today, Larry. You ready for this?
I saw that.
An acoustic evening with Lyle Lovett and John Hyatt coming Tuesday, November 3rd to MSC Opus. Check out MSCOpus.org for all the information there. Should be a great show. Everyone knows Lyle Lovett. John Hyatt, the name may be not as familiar to you, but is a tremendous songwriter. Won all kinds of awards and all kinds of stuff. So it should be a fun evening. Get all the information, MSCOpus.org. So there you go.
Basically, I'm going to take your word, you and Jay. If you guys say that's a good deal, I'm going to go along with you. I know who Lyle Lovett is. But,
Yeah. There you go. Check that out. We have a new host today. I don't know what I was thinking when I did this, by the way, Larry, because he might say anything. We are joined today by the Patrick Kane jersey-wearing Jay Arnold, who is here to hang out with us. He's not just like a one-segment deal. He's going the whole time. He's going end-to-end, coast-to-coast.
I consider this more or less an audition for him to take my place for the full 2 hours,
well,
and I'm not hurt at all.
I'm going to make sure he's not too good. I don't want them to fire me and bring him in. But Jay, of course, played for A&M, forced to retire, is that the official word?
Yeah.
Because of... a number of things, I assume. It's not just like, oh, my wrist is not good. It's like a couple of different things. But he's going to hang out with us. We're going to talk about what it's like to be recruited. We're going to talk about what it's like to be a student-athlete. A lot of student-athlete issues come up all the time, and yet none of us really know what it's like to be a student-athlete. Well, some of us do. I don't, and I presume that you don't, Larry, because you haven't been if you were a student-athlete, you haven't been one lately.
No, never.
So we will do that. We will be joined by Uri Geva to talk about the Bombers later on. We're going to do a movie time special. Normally, we save movie time for Fridays, but when Sharknado comes out, you got to movie time it right away. We'll do that later on. But first, the big news of the day. Larry is wearing a throwback Astros jersey, the blue and gold style jersey with the Bagwell on the back. I assume in honor of today's trade, the Astros wore those jerseys in 98 when they made the big deal for Randy Johnson. Today's trade, not quite that big. They didn't give up, hopefully, two future best players ever, but to get him. But Scott Kazmir coming to the Houston Astros. The Astros giving up Daniel Mingden, a former A&M ace, and a guy I've never heard of before, who apparently plays catcher.
I was hoping earlier in the year that they might go after Kazmir. I don't think he qualifies as the number two starter that we talked about with Julia the other day, and that was in the Houston paper today the Chronicle was kind of pleading with them to make a big market bid and go get somebody to be the number two guy behind Keuchel. But in no offense to Daniel Mingden, I don't know if Daniel will ever make the bigs or not, but I think that was a pretty low-risk move, and
yeah.
Kazmir's a guy who might help him.
Yeah, we'll find out. So that is today's big news.
Well, we got to find out if Jay can pitch.
Yeah, well, I doubt it.
I can dust off the glove, get back out there on the bump, deal some heat.
Now I should mention, because if there's ever we only have a few things that this show loves universally. We love space news. We love shenanigans, which we talked about yesterday. We had some baby race shenanigans, any kind of shenanigans, and Taylor Swift. Your boy that you're wearing the jersey, Patrick Kane, admitted was this yesterday that he once allowed a goal because he was looking at Taylor Swift in the crowd. How do you feel about that?
I can't blame him for that at all.
Are you ashamed of your boy?
Not at all. Not at all.
Like, you famously like Taylor Swift as well.
I do.
Your episode of Toast with Totes included a listening to Taylor Swift in the car. So
teardrops on my guitar.
Yeah. How do you think about that, Larry?
Well, I'm thinking that I don't want to put Jay on the spot. He's nice enough to come
you
in for the show.
You almost rendered Barrett Bowen speechless.
I'm just wondering if he ever had a quarterback in his sights and then looked up and saw Taylor in the stands and said,
if Taylor was in the stands, you could see it happening.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a possibility that it would have happened.
Yeah, I mean, we can't.
I'm lucky that she didn't come to one of our games.
Well, I don't know.
And maybe he could have sacked the quarterback with one hand and waved to her with the other
hand. The way that he would dance after his big tackles, I would only assume that Taylor would be all about it. So, Jay, let's shift the conversation over to you. You're the reason you're here. You're part of the reason that more people are listening than normal. Let's talk about, first off, what's this summer been like? I mean, when did you... To get the kind of, I don't want to say negative or sad or whatever, but get that stuff out of the way. When did you know that you weren't going to be able to come back for this fall? And what was that process like for you?
I mean, we started going through the paperwork part of it during spring. So I knew during spring ball that this was a decision that I was going to have to make. My most recent surgery was January 3rd. And at that point, doctors talking to me saying, you know, I'm taking a big risk by playing again. And so we talked about it. I talked with my family, talked with doctors, and we basically decided during spring that it was best if I didn't come back. And so this whole summer has just been pushing paperwork through, getting everything taken care of.
Now, how does that process work? Are you still on? Because we've heard of guys that came in. Cedric Collins was one who got to stay on scholarship, even though he never played. Do you get to stay on scholarship? How does all that work?
Yes, I'm still staying on scholarship. It's what's called a medical hardship. And so what they do is they honor your scholarship. Basically, nothing changes for me. Still go up to Bright for meals and everything. Still get tutors and all that. But only real difference is I'm not going to practice or on the field for games anymore.
What was... You know, when you first heard about that, when you first knew, how hard... Were those few days? Because obviously you're not only a player, but you're a passionate player. I mean, there's guys that do it because it's a business. I mean, I think everyone sees it. But you're a guy that was, you know, you love the interaction with the fans. You were always dancing on the field. It seemed like it was like, a big passion for you. What was that like?
It was tough. It was really tough. The big thing is I'm a really competitive person. So I like to see things through. And so not getting to finish that off was probably one of the hardest things. Obviously, I'm going to miss being in the locker room with all those guys. Locker room times are always fun. And just, you know, it's hard, but at the same time, you're thinking about your future. And at the end of the day, I had to make a decision that was best for my long-term health.
So now you get to focus a little more on your I don't want to say that you weren't focused in the first place, but now you're all about the schoolwork. What's your major? What are you hoping to do?
My major is business management. I honestly have no clue what I want to do with it yet.
It's all right. I'm 30 now, and I still don't really know what I want to do when I grow up. So you don't have any long-term – you're no Julian Obioha, right? Knows what he wants to do when he gets out of
there. Yeah, I'm not completely set. Don't have a set path yet.
Let's talk about some fun stuff. You know, we've got all kinds of things we want to talk about throughout the show, but you obviously were part of this team last year. What were the high? What was the highest of highs? The maybe the best moment you had with last year's team?
No doubt, it was that Auburn locker room after the game, after we beat Auburn at Jordan-Hare. Locker room just went nuts, and that's always going to stick out in my mind. Just, you know, that celebration, everybody going crazy, pulling off an upset like that, just. Incredible moment.
And y'all can hit us up. Y'all have questions for us, questions for Jay. Hit us up 229-1939. Well, I'll probably ask them. Our listeners can be a little out of control sometimes, so I'll probably ask. But hit us up 229-1939. I want to go into that Auburn game a little bit because it, to me, was one of the most unexpected wins I've ever seen at A&M. And certainly no offense to the team, but y'all had a rough three-game stretch before that.
Absolutely.
Really four-game stretch, because I don't think it would be too hard on anybody to say that y'all didn't play the way y'all wanted to play against Louisiana Monroe. What was that like leading up to that? I mean, did y'all have any sense that y'all were about to pull an upset like that? I mean, could y'all feel the momentum changing a little bit?
I mean, when you're playing a sport at that level, you kind of have to be confident in yourself, otherwise you're just going to get run over. And so we were confident in ourselves going into Auburn. You know, we believed that we had enough talent to pull off the win. And we got out there, and it was just a feeling we had, you know, like this is a moment that we can really step up and turn the season around. And so we went out there. Things started off hot. You know, ended that half with the field goal blocked in return for a touchdown. And at that moment, I think everybody was like, you know, we're going to do this.
We're in this.
Yeah.
I like to get down on the field because we send several people to most of the games. And Cessna's always up in the booth. So I like to go down on the field before the game and get a little sense of what's the crowd like and sometimes what's the field like. I mean, that's been at times like at LSU, that was the case when it was raining one year. So I just kind of get a sense for the, you know, what's actually going on down there. So I jumped in the elevator to get back up to the press box, and y'all had already scored against Auburn. So I actually missed the first drive of the game. But that had to be a good one. What about for you personally? When you think back on last season, was there a play you made or a tackle or something unexpected that kind of stands out to you?
I mean, that South Carolina game was a fun game. For me personally, didn't necessarily make a tackle, but I had a few plays where I got in the backfield, caused a disruption. SMU, getting that sack against SMU was good, just being in my hometown. You know, I grew up going to FCA games at the stadium up there in Dallas, and so getting a sack out there on that field was a really cool moment for me. And, you know, there's not too much that sticks out, but those are two of the really big moments for me.
Let's go ahead and go to our first break. That'll give people some time to text in some questions. We already got one we'll get to. Text us 229-1939. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk some more about, you know, the guys and some of the stuff you remember from your playing. But also, we want to also talk about what is it like being recruited? This is something we talk about a lot on the show. Really, all the shows here on The Zone talk about, you know, recruiting and the different guys. And we're going to hear the other side of it. What was it like being recruited? And then also, what's the life of a student-athlete really like? We're going to talk about that a little bit later on, too. So hit us up with y'all's questions, 229-1939. We'll go to our first break, and we'll come back. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone FM 102.7.
It's time for Tailgater Truths, presented by Dish. Truth number 29. Game day without HD is like a tailgate without bacon-wrapped bacon with a side of bacon. With the Tailgater from Dish, you get mobile satellite TV and quarterback sacking HD. It sets up in 15 quick minutes or less and automatically connects to a satellite signal. So the only games you're playing are the ones you want to. Plus, there's no long-term contracts. You can pay as you go. Or add the Tailgater to your Dish Home account for only $7 a month. So fire up the grill and the TV and start making tail greatness this season. Just be sure to use a napkin before touching that remote, Mr. Bacon Fingers. To learn more, visit dish.com/tailgate. Restrictions include prepayment of all monthly and one-time fees.
Don't miss the return of the Vellucci Hour at the Tap, Monday, July 27th. It's time to get recruiting insight from Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of Texags Radio. And do we even have to mention the return of the Wrecking Crew with our brand new defensive coordinator? There's so much happening in Aggie football this fall, so we'll see you Monday, July 27th from noon till 1 at the Tap for the return of the Vellucci Hour. Plus, enjoy the Tap's delicious $7.99 lunch specials with all the bells and whistles and make the Vellucci Hour lunch a part of your game week.
Give your truck authority. Texas Truck Riggins will help you hook up your rig the way you want it with a wide variety of truck accessories, spray-in bed liners, grill guards, toolboxes, goosenecks, and more. The best products well within your budget. We can also powder coat patio furniture, old iron beds, and wheels, just to name a few. All with quick turnaround and straightforward answers to your questions. Visit Texas Truck Riggins on South College Street across from the Lake of the Bryan Municipal Golf Course. Find us on Facebook or visit us at txtruckriggins.com.
Fall into fun with Bryan Broadcasting's Brazos Family Magazine. Find out how to keep your kids healthy with an article on the important checkups your child needs for back to school. And be sure to check out our after-school activity guide. Brazos Family is a local magazine full of local stories. For information about advertising in this back-to-school issue of Brazos Family Magazine, call Sam Jones at Bryan Broadcasting or email sam@bryanbroadcasting.com.
Hoppy Bridge is an Aggieland tradition, serving their mouth-watering food for over 20 years to the folks of the Brazos Valley. And they want to invite you to enjoy a burger that you've come to know and love, which has been named Best of the Brazos for over a decade. And enjoy their award-winning goodness with $1.75 drafts all day, every Wednesday at both locations. Hoppy Bridge, serving Aggieland the best big burger in town for over two decades. On Harvey and Welburn, both in College Station.
For more information on the Zone 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150, visit zone1150.com now.
About that was your do you get that a lot, the Hey Arnold, Jay?
Absolutely.
Arnold? Yeah, I figured you'd probably get tired of it. We couldn't resist.
She had an English professor that called me Hey Arnold one time.
We had a texter not too long ago say that our intro song sounds like the Hey Arnold songs. It was too good of a tie-in not to use. But in case you're just joining us, this is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Larry Bowen, and Jay Arnold in the studio here, hanging out, taking your questions, 229-1939.
For the rest of the show, would you do me a favor and say Aubrey Bloom, Jay Arnold, and Larry Bowen? I don't want to get billing ahead of Jay.
No, you have to sit next to him. I'm across the table, so I'm a little safer.
That's what I'm saying. Say his name first, okay. And then mine.
We thought we would, and keep your text coming, 229-1939. We're going to get to y'all's questions a little bit later. You know, one thing I thought we'd talk about with Jay, because we don't get to talk about this very often, and a lot of times we only get, as you know, very, very limited access to players during the year, or anytime, really. And so, you know, when we're talking to them, it's got to be about stuff that we're going to write about right then. You know, what's going on this week? How was the game last week? All this kind of stuff. So one thing we don't get to talk to guys too often, once they're done, we can talk to recruits while they're being recruited, but we don't often get to talk to players of what it was like being recruited. So I thought we'd talk a little bit with you about that. Obviously, you were a highly recruited guy, maybe not quite Miles Garrett, but certainly had quite a few offers. When does that process start? When's the first time you got a call, you got a letter, you got a whatever? When was the first time you remember that?
I mean, it really starts with you going to camps, even your freshman or sophomore year, go to camps. I'm not sure what the NCAA rules are, honestly, but I think calls are junior year, start of your junior year, is when coaches can start calling you. And then, you know, there's so many rules and regulations that the NCAA has, it's hard to keep track of it.
Jay, I was curious about this, and I've done a couple of stories on local athletes recently, and the camps have become such a huge part of recruiting, and that's happened probably within the last decade or so, clearly at the time you were going through the process. But tell us about those camps. I interviewed a young man from Caldwell yesterday. He hopes to play college football. He's not a highly recruited guy like you were, but he went to a camp last week and hoped that he made an impression on the coaches. There's kids there like you that probably have scholarship offers. There's kids there who are probably trying to use you to impress the coaches. I would imagine that is a pretty intense thing for a quote-unquote camp. It sounds an awful like a awful lot like a job interview to me.
Definitely. When you're going to those camps, you're trying to get your name out there, trying to draw the attention of the coaches. My thing was that my junior year, when I really started getting heavily recruited, I was playing so many sports, I didn't really go to camps. In fact, the only camp I went to summer of my junior year before that was actually a wrestling camp for my high school. Mm-hmm. And so we went as a team, but that's the only real camp experience besides my freshman year and my sophomore year when I was just going as a kid that nobody really knew.
Well, when you go to these camps, these football camps, you don't have pads on. You're not hitting, right? You're doing non-contact drills.
Non-contact.
How do you impress the coaches in a contact sport when you can't hit anybody?
Well, and there's a, you know, Texas schools with UIL, I think it's a regulation that you can't have pads, but at other places, I think you can actually have shoulder pads on.
But so, I mean, is it showing them footwork, speed, quickness, strength? Yeah, how do you make an impression under those circumstances?
There's a lot of agility drills, and like even D-line and O-line, you know, while you not, may not be able to do a lot of things, there's still, you know, you can show off hand fighting techniques, things like that, how quick your hands are. So there's ways to show off. And then obviously the 40 and the shuttle, all those type of drills to show agility and speed.
Yeah, these days we get a little frustrated. Me and Larry, I know you're the same way. When there's a lot of not football involved in football recruiting, the team camps, the 7-on-7s, the speed camps, the spark ratings, and all this right. kind of stuff. As a lineman, is that a little bit frustrating? I mean, like, do you feel that people really get to know who you are that early on? I mean, because I would think for skill guys, sure, the 7-on-7s are fine. But there's so limited data available. Say, like, a player like you playing defensive line, that going into your junior year, even if you weren't on the varsity, like your freshman or sophomore years, there's not really that much out there. And yet people are already doing rankings. They've already got everything out. Right. What's that system like?
I've never understood the rankings coming in that early for me. You know, like, as a freshman, like, it's crazy to me that, like, these kids that are so young are getting rated so quickly. I've always thought it was kind of a weird deal. But it's just part of the nature of the business. And people want to be updated nowadays on who are the kids coming up. And it just gets earlier and earlier. And it's basically a snowball effect.
Do you, you know, it's one thing we always hear that guys try not to pay attention to the rankings. But as someone who worked in recruiting for a while, I know that that's not true.
Right.
I mean, when you go up against someone who is highly ranked, I mean, everyone knows, right? Everyone on every team knows
right.
who the guys are.
Absolutely. And even the coaches know, like, they're singling out this guy, rated 4-star by so-and-so, has offers from these schools, and they'll bring it up, and just trying to get you motivated, because you're playing against somebody that's an elite player. You wanna have one of the best performances you've had.
Do you remember what was your first big offer? And you can kind of define what big or big isn't. Some people might think big is Houston. Some people might think it's got to be a Power 5. But what was your first big time offer that made you think, like, hey, I can go play football at a big time school? I can get my college paid for at a major university. Was there a first one?
SMU was the first school that offered me, and for me that was a big deal just because I'd grown up watching SMU games. I mentioned earlier, we had a FCA deal where we would go to the SMU games, watch the games there, and then Tulsa offered right after that, and I'd grown up watching Tulsa a little bit too, just because one of my good friends from growing up, his cousin was actually the quarterback at Tulsa, DJ Kenny.
Oh, okay.
So he played there, and so I watched a bunch of their games. So getting offered by them was a cool deal as well.
What was your first Power 5? Was it A&M? Was A&M the first?
Baylor was the first Baylor? Power 5. Big 12.
What would you, because I'm always fascinated, how do you find out that you've been offered? Does your coach tell you? Do you get is the college coach? How does that usually work?
It can be a mix of things. Like, either they tell your coach, you know, it could be like a Facebook message. You can get a call. There's a just a plethora of ways to get an offer.
Have you ever heard about an offer through a recruiting website?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I've always wondered because sometimes the I don't want to say that people get backdoor information, but there's been times when players say they heard about something from another source. So at least that never happened to you.
No, definitely.
Can you tell us about just the pressure of it all? Once you started getting those offers, you knew you were going to have an opportunity. I'm sure that let a little bit of the pressure off that some other kids had more uncertainty. But trying to make a decision, I mean, such a big part of your life, and certainly you see that now with the health issues.
Absolutely.
And knowing going forward, the fact that you're going here and getting a degree is going to play such a big part in your life. But just talk about the pressure. You know, I wonder, you know, Aubrey's the hard crusty guy here, and I'm the old tender-hearted guy on the show. But I wonder about young people and the pressure of that time. I mean, it's hard to be a teenager.
Absolutely.
It's hard to be in high school. Now, you're in high school going through this stuff that is, you know, I mean, everything's against you when you're a teenager.
Absolutely.
And then you've got to make such a huge decision. How hard is that?
Well, and that's one thing that I would say to fans who get upset with kids that they think are being dramatic about the process. There's a lot of them that are. But you have to understand, this is a teenager trying to make a decision that's going to affect the rest of his life. It's not something that's going to be an easy choice. It's not something that you can just take lightly. It's a lot of deliberation, a lot of talking with people close to you, trying to figure out where the best fit for you is and with what you want to do later on in life.
Right. Did you commit to like 3 or 4 schools before A&M?
No, I didn't. I had a great coaching staff in high school that really harped on the fact that once you give your word, you give your word. And so once I committed, I was done.
You didn't let Aubrey or any of the other people covering recruiting scare you off?
No, I tried not to.
That's, to me, is one of the interesting facets of that, too, is how much people pay attention to recruiting. Lately, a conversation has been about potentially moving up the signing day, an early signing period, or having no signing period at all. This is what Hugh Freeze said the other day. He said he would like it that if a kid knows where he wants to go, he can go ahead and sign. If not, he can wait until, you know, whenever, and then sign. As someone who went through it, had the signing day the whole bit, where do you kind of, do you have an opinion on that? Would you like to see, do you think it's too difficult for players to know where they're going to go, so they kind of have to wait till a certain day? Or would you like players just be able to sign and go when they're ready?
I mean, if you're ready and you know you are, then go ahead and sign by all means. I think you should be able to sign whenever. Go ahead and get that commitment out of the way. You sign, then you don't have to worry about college coaches, you know, calling you saying, oh, well, you know, maybe we would rather come here instead of going there. Once you sign, it's over. And so I think that would be a...
See, I've been a fan of this. I've said you should be able to sign and go as soon as you want, with the exception of a coaching change, because this is an issue. Everyone says, oh, you commit to the school and not the coach. You know that's not true. Everyone commits to the coach. Every now and then you've got a...
I mean...
There's a few Cole Stewarts out there that grew up fifth generation Aggie or whatever, but would that be something that you think they could work in? Like, you could sign whenever, but if there's a coaching change, it's kind of voided?
I think that's a great idea, because... You know, when you're getting recruited, you get recruited by this one coach the whole time. All of a sudden, he gets fired, and you have to come in and make an impression with a new staff who maybe didn't offer you. And it's a different situation. You know, you're dealing with these coaches. You've been recruited by them through the whole process. You're used to them being in this school, and they get canned, and then you're just like, well. Gosh, what am I going to do now?
Yeah, and you don't know if the system's going to fit, or you don't know if the new coach even likes you. I mean, there could be a lot of different things.
So, like, you're a 3-4 defensive end, and all of a sudden you get a new defensive coach, 4-3, and you're like, well, what?
Yeah, that might not be your
cup of tea. How does that work for me?
Jay, you just lit up a light bulb for me with one of the things you said just a moment ago when you were talking about coaches calling and that kind of stuff. Can you tell us, on a family radio show, the craziest thing that happened in recruiting? Did you have a coach call you at 2:30 to ask you anything, or did I mean? I've heard stories that it gets crazy at times. Do you have any crazy stories from recruiting?
I don't have any crazy stories from recruiting. Craziest story for me, and this isn't like a crazy recruiting story, but whenever I visited Northwestern, it's a 17-hour drive from Dallas to Chicago. So we made that whole drive one day, slept there, go and visit the next day, and then when we're done with our visit, head back on the road.
Wow. That is a lot.
Yeah.
For Northwestern.
You went up with your parents?
I went up with my dad
on
that trip.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm sure your dad's driving going like, maybe you could find a closer place.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, I'm visiting up there, and... You know, I obviously I'm a big Chicago sports fan, so I was loving it up there.
Yes, we know. It's
and,
too much. I'm just kidding.
We're driving through one of the neighborhoods, and I see this pole sticking up off this fire hydrant. And my dad goes, "Hey, Jay, you know what that's for?" It's like, "No, what is that?" And he said, "That's how they can find it whenever it snows."
Oh my god!
So at that point, wow. I was like,
"You were like, well, no, I'm staying in Texas."
Yeah, I was raised in Texas.
In the world I live in, that qualifies as a crazy recruiting story right there.
Let's go ahead and go to our next break. When we come back, I want to talk about kind of transitioning from being a recruit to being a student athlete. You know, what's it like coming in? What's it like playing as a freshman? All that kind of stuff. And again, keep your texts coming. We already got some good questions that we'll ask you in a little bit. 229-1939. We'll go to break. We'll come back. We'll talk about that. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM. A high-speed chase last night involving DPS troopers and a stolen vehicle from Brazos County resulted in a crash that resulted in one death and three others going to the hospital. Trooper Jimmy Morgan says the pursuit began in Brenham at Bluebell Road and Highway 105 and ended on 105 near the Brazos River Bridge west of Navasota.
One of our troopers noticed the vehicle was driving erratic and the occupants of that vehicle not wearing a seatbelt. So the trooper attempted to make a traffic stop on State Highway 105 while they were traveling eastbound. The vehicle then fled from the trooper at speeds over 100 miles an hour. During the pursuit, the vehicle actually was crossing over the other side of the roadway, forcing people off the roadway.
Morgan says the stolen vehicle struck a car that had pulled over. Two passengers in the stolen car were ejected. One died at the scene and the second is hospitalized. Morgan says the driver got out but was caught by a trooper and taken into custody. Two occupants in the car that was struck received injuries not believed to be life-threatening. No names have been released. The Texas A&M Foundation has announced three major gifts to kick off funding a new music activity center. The $40 million complex is something the director of bands and music activities, Timothy Ray, says has been discussed since he started 23 years ago. The center will be located at George Bush and Koch and is expected to open in 2017. Renderings of the center and more information is on our website at WTAW.com. And Bluebell has taken the next step towards returning to store shelves. The company sent two tweets yesterday announcing test production has started at their plant in Alabama. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Texans are teaming up to reduce teen pregnancy.
We're teaming up by starting the conversation.
We're teaming up to educate our community.
We're teaming up to mobilize a coalition.
When it comes to reducing teen pregnancy in our communities,
we're teaming up to make a difference.
OurTownForTeens.org is helping communities all over Texas reduce teen pregnancy by putting the resources you need at your fingertips. OurTownForTeens.org. Team up. We can do this.
Green Teams welcomes the Texas A&M University Construction Science Department to its family of customers. Like many other businesses, Texas A&M's Construction Science Department uses Green Teams for interior landscaping. Green Teams also offers short-term plant rentals for events like weddings and conferences. Make your work environment more pleasant with plants. For more information about interior landscaping, call Susie Gallagher with Green Teams, 823-7551. Green Teams.
Come stand with the 12th man at all Texas A&M athletic events. You make a difference for our student athletes in our venues. Tickets are available at 888-99-AGGIE or visit 12thman.com/tickets. Thanks and gig 'em. Aggie fans, Texas A&M Athletics is always just a few clicks away on your digital device. Stay connected by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Visit 12thman.com/social media for a complete social media directory.
Don't miss the return of the Vellucci Hour at the Tap, Monday, July 27th. It's time to get recruiting insight from Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of Texags Radio. And do we even have to mention the return of the Wrecking Crew with our brand new defensive coordinator? There's so much happening in Aggie football this fall, so we'll see you Monday, July 27th from noon till 1 at the Tap for the return of the Vellucci Hour. Plus, enjoy the Tap's delicious $7.99 lunch specials with all the bells and whistles and make the Vellucci Hour lunch a part of your game week.
Your home for Houston Astros baseball. Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Welcome back. It's Aggie Nation. Powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Jay Arnold, and Larry Bowen. You wanted to be last there, Larry.
I think that's an appropriate. We might get Jay first. He's the guest.
I should just put him first because it'd be alphabetical order. So that makes everything easier. We were talking about recruiting last segment. Well, I want to talk about what it's like being a student athlete a little bit this segment. And I'll tell you why I kind of want to bring this up. Is because of the talk of Kyler Murray and Kyle Allen. And I've said, and we're not going to ask you to give us insider info on the team or anything, because I don't want the SIDs coming over here and shutting us down. But I've said I think this is going to be exceedingly hard for Kyler Murray to knock out Kyle Allen because he's not a midterm enrollee. I think that makes a huge difference. And when guys come in and when they're ready to play, and I was kind of on a broader scale, what your kind of sense of that was, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but you were a midterm. You weren't a midterm guy. What was it? So that makes it even better. When you come in the fall, or the summer, I guess. How hard is it to get up and going, going to classes, getting up to speed with the team? How long does that really take before you feel comfortable?
Well, the good thing about summer is it kind of gives you a little bit of a time to get in. They give you some adjustment classes, some things where you're gradually working your way in. Those guys that come in the spring, they're getting thrown straight into the college athlete life. It's not like they're taking serious classes right off the bat, jumping into practice, jumping into the workouts, and it's just basically rough. I can't imagine what those guys went through.
When you got to campus, could you tell the difference maybe when fall practice started between the guys that had been there at midterm and the guys just coming in? I mean, is that as big of a head start as we tend to think it is?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Mainly because coming from high school to college, there's a totally different pace at practice. So your first day out there at practice, you're kind of lost. You have no idea what's going on. Everybody else, like the midterm guys, already know where to go, what's going to happen first, where to line up, everything. And it's just moving so quickly, you kind of just have to catch up and get yourself taught almost immediately. And the midterm guys have a huge jump on that, mainly because they've been in the program for longer. That extra semester makes a huge difference.
Yeah, and that's why I think people have these huge expectations for freshmen. And, of course, this year is no different. And of course, brings in high-profile guys every year. But how hard is it for those guys? I mean, you were there last year and saw Speedy Noyle and Kyle Allen and Armani Watts and these different true freshmen. And you yourself played as a true freshman 2 years ago. How hard is it to get onto the field as a true freshman?
It's tough. And what people don't realize is, even aside from the physical differences from people that have already been there for a while and matured a little bit more, it's, you know, you're coming in and the way classes are is just complete. Like it's a lot of stress you're dealing with. You're dealing with a big adjustment to your life, and so finding a way to excel at football while making all these adjustments is a really tough process. And that's why you don't see a lot of kids start as true freshmen. It's a really hard jump.
Was there anything or any coach or anyone that kind of, when you were a freshman, that helped out the process? I mean, what you obviously did get on the field. What do you attribute that to? Well, you have some injury problems also. But just as in your ability to transition, what does the A&M staff do to help? And how good of a job do you think they did when you were a freshman?
I mean, this staff is really great. You know, they do a great job of helping us, you know, learn how everything works right away. They do a great job of getting us on the playbook right away, so we learn our plays, get up on that. And then that was the big part that helped me get out there on the field was diving right into my playbook right off the bat.
What's it like? Because we know nowadays, I'm going to kind of shift gears here a little bit and talk about some guys on the team, but you know, some guys have to come in, they have to get in the way, to take them a couple years even to really get into the rhythm of everything and to get onto the field because of their physical maturity. And then there's guys like Myles Garrett. When that guy showed up, what was y'all's reaction to seeing this guy for the first time?
You know, he's just a freak athlete. The guy's blessed. He has amazing abilities, incredible athlete, hard worker, really intelligent guy. He's the full package, and that's one of the reasons he was able to get out there so quickly.
I wanted to ask you about him, Jay. I talked to him last week. And obviously, he wasn't available to the media as a freshman. I think most of the media members, after interviewing you, are going to ask for like a special dispensation that the really good talkers are available even as a freshman. But I know he hadn't talked to many people. I'm sure he's talked to some. Now, I'm just the local high school reporter, but I was blown away with his kind of presence. He's well-spoken. He was bright. He just the manner he handled himself. I'd never met the guy. You know, I saw him on TV last year. I knew he was pretty good, but I think he's got star written all over him because he has a personality to go with the game.
Well, and that's what people don't realize is half of becoming a huge star is having the personality. You know, there's a fine line between having too much personality and not enough talent. But you know, he's like you were saying, he's a really bright guy, really bright kid. super intelligent, and you know, he's a hard worker, and he has the full package to be a star, like you were saying.
What is it that we hear all the time about the team gelling or coming together and the team chemistry? How important is that from someone who lived it, who was in there, and how long does it take for that really to come together? I mean, when fall practice starts, do you even know all the guys on the team? I mean, how does that kind of work?
You start meeting everyone during summer, during workouts. So you get to meet them in workouts. You have these 7-on-7 practices that you do. You get to meet all the guys in the locker room, and you start gelling there. And you know, if the guys aren't helping out the freshmen right away, then there's not going to be that chemistry, especially when a freshman happens to be good enough to get out on the field. But the way the locker room is, you basically have to have chemistry right off the bat. You either make it happen or you don't.
And is that chemistry important? I mean, can you see it on the field on the weekends?
Absolutely.
Because we hear it, and it seems like it could be overrated. And I think Sumlin himself has even talked about how when people talk about leadership, sometimes it's a little overrated, because what he means is that leadership's not the guys waving to the team or yelling at the team. It's the guys that are leading in the locker room and in the weight room and stuff like that.
Right.
Is that as important as we make it out to be sometimes?
It's definitely important. Chemistry, the reason chemistry is a big deal is you want to be able to trust that the guy next to you is able to do his job. And when you have that bond, when you have that chemistry, you don't have to worry about him doing his job. You can just worry about doing your job. And that's one of the big reasons that chemistry is such a huge deal. You're not trying to overcompensate for the guy next to you.
Can you feel it when it starts to go away right away? I mean, not necessarily point at a point in time, but it seemed like the team kind of lost its way a little bit last year and then kind of found it again mid-season. Can you sense when that's coming, or is it just kind of happen?
There's no sensing. It's just one of those deals. You know, it starts to happen and things just snowball, and you feel like you can't do anything right, and then all of a sudden, you know, you get back on track and get hot again. And I mean, that can happen several times within the course of one game.
Let alone a
season, you know.
Kind of shifting gears again a little bit. Who was the? Because I think this is a text. What we're going to get a question later on. Best player, maybe not for A&M, but best player you got to go against or watch or anything, whether it's high school, whether it was in college. Jeez. The best player that you got to see.
Put me on the spot right now.
other than me and Larry Bowen, obviously.
Right. Right. If I had to say the best player I'd ever played against,
I'm drawing a blank. What about the best player you ever sacked or tackled behind the line of scrimmage?
I'm still trying to.
I mean, it could be a quarterback, running back, offensive lineman.
You know, it's that old kind of cliche, but Jay just tackles them all and then just throws them out till he finds the guy who has the ball.
They're just faceless opposition to a guy like Jay Arnold. He's not worried about who it is.
This is going to sound cliche, but playing in a conference like we do, there's just so many talented guys. It's hard to single out one who's, you know, I mean, for me, going against in practice, going against Jake Matthews and Cedric, I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name. I still can't pronounce the name. But,
hey, you and Robert Cessna have something in common. Who'd have thought?
Yeah.
You might be the next host of the show.
Yeah.
So that was hard in practice? I mean, that's one of those things I've wondered.
Especially, and it gets really competitive when we're doing one-on-one pass rush drills. And it's obviously not completely realistic because you know it's going to be a pass. But it gets so competitive whenever you're going against those guys.
We were talking about the Big 12 made a big to-do the other day about their only 2 days of full contact per week thing this year. Is that really a change? We were wondering, does anyone tackle to the ground during the season these days?
You don't tackle to the ground during the season.
Yeah.
The problem is when you tackle to the ground during the season, that's how somebody rolls an ankle. You know, so many injuries happen from going to the ground. And there's plenty of ways to have contact without going all the way to the ground.
Let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to get Uri Gevin. He's talking about the Bombers. And then we're going to ask y'all's questions. Y'all hit us up, 229-1939. Your questions for Jay Arnold. We'll rapid fire them. And I've got some, in case people don't send them in, I've got some of my own ready for later on as well. So come back with us. We're going to give away some Bombers tickets, by the way. So this is going to be a hard-hitting segment next. So stay with us. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
Here's Brad Beard of Intercon. When we started Intercon in early 1991, we were well aware that we would be competing with some companies that use unscrupulous techniques to make a quick sale, such as bait and switch, or 40% off if you commit today, or misleading, incomplete quotes. Intercon's practice is to be completely honest and encourage prospective customers to talk to our former customers. We've encouraged customers to get multiple quotes. We are confident and proud of our value proposition for windows, glass, and solar screens. We never want anyone to rush into a decision they will regret in the future. Just remember, warranties are only as good as the people who provide them and are servicing the area when situations arise. This is our home and only marketplace, and we will protect our home turf. You've probably heard the saying, the buck stops here, and that is with me, Brad Beard, president and co-owner of Intercon LLC.
Whether you have new construction or an existing home, let the fine folks from Intercon help your home energy efficiency year-round. Call Brad Beard of Intercon today at 823-3639. That's 823-3639.
It's summertime and a great time for sizzling hot deals at Normandy Tractor. If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Normandy Tractor. At Normandy Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. And right now, get the best deal of the summer with the Kubota L2501F 25 horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot Land Pride shredder, complete with an $800 finance rebate and a $500 cash rebate. Only $11,695 or 10% down in payments of only $156 per month. Normandy asks you, why buy used when you can buy new with prices and payments as low as these? Need to finance? Normandy makes it easy with zero down payment and 0% financing on all new Kubota tractors and lawn equipment. And remember, most any trade can be your down payment. Normandy Tractor, voted best of the Brazos since 2002. Remember to shop the internet specials at normandytractor.com, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Normandy, Texas. And remember, nobody beats Normandy Tractor.
At Schlitterbahn, there's so much for my family to do. We need a checklist. Miles of slides, rivers, and waves? Check. Plus, Schlitterbahn welcomes picnics and has free parking and tubes. Estimated savings of $100? Check. We also love how we can float the day away and enjoy so much family fun together. Packing our summer with amazing memories? Definitely check. Hold on to every moment at Schlitterbahn.
Get discounted tickets and plan your stay at Schlitterbahn.com.
There's nothing like baseball and fireworks at the ballpark. This season, the Texas Rangers have a special Fireworks Friday deal for all fans. Fans can enter fireworks as a coupon code at texasrangers.com/specials and get $14 upper reserve tickets. Watch your Rangers light up the Arlington skies and stay for a post-game fireworks set to great music. Tickets are going fast, so reserve your seat now at texasrangers.com/specials. Offer valid for most Friday home games.
Coal Banker, Agtown Realtors, above the rest. Find Coal Banker, Agtown Realtors on Facebook or call us at 846-8400.
Listen to the Astros, the Rangers, the Texans, and of course, the Fightin' Texas Aggies. Texas Aggies. Your favorite teams play on the Zone FM 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150.
Welcome back, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Jay Arnold, and now we're joined by Uri Geva. We got people in and out all day. It's like a whirlwind of folks.
It's like
here,
musical chairs.
Yeah, here in the studio. And we talked about this earlier, things we love on the show. We love Taylor Swift. We love, what else? We love Space News. And as everyone knows, we love shenanigans. And Uri, you come in today with breaking shenanigans news.
Well, it is breaking news. So the Bombers, unfortunately, on the field, didn't play our best last night. Got our first shutout in the year and lost the game 1-0. It was a good, hard-fought game. However, throughout the game, we brought it to the attention of the East Texas Pump Shacks. They had used, unfortunately, an ineligible player. And therefore,
shenanigan.
And in fact, they used two ineligible players, and we appealed the game immediately following the game. Regardless of the win or loss, we would have brought it to the attention. And it was a unanimous vote that the Pump Shacks broke the league rules and therefore were penalized with a forfeit. So in essence, the 9-game win streak now is 10-game win streak.
All right.
It's not how we like to win, and honestly, our goal when we brought it to the league's attention was, look, we don't need the win. We'll take a draw or call it no contest but we just – people got to play by the rules. And so it was unfortunate. It wasn't intentional, they claim. There was no...
So what actually happened here?
So we have to submit our rosters by midnight the night before. If there's any changes or transactions that happen, they have to be done the night before a game for those players to be eligible. That was not done. They added two new players to the team, never submitted their new roster or the fact that there was a transaction between those players. So that was the shenanigan. Our coach, Dixon, was like, hey, man, these guys aren't eligible. We called their management team. They never did anything about it. In fact, they could have probably, okay, the starter, the starting pitcher, cool, he's ineligible. But the relief pitcher was also ineligible, and they could have made a change because we did bring it to their attention. So we just want to play by the rules. We're not asking anyone to, you know, go...
Classic East Texas shenanigans.
Classic East Texas shenanigans. So we get the W, they get the L. Unfortunately, that's how it happens. Obviously, we don't need that much help from off the field in order to win with 32 regular standard wins beforehand. But Bombers are excited about... what we've got coming up this weekend, no shenanigans. Well, I mean,
This sounds like definite shenanigans. Well, off the field shenanigans.
Off the field shenanigans. Agnite by Molly Maids, and that's on Kids Free Saturday, where kids get in free thanks to Chicken Express, and they get to play for free a couple times on the inflatables and get a dinner with that.
Uh-oh.
And we'll have farm animals there.
Okay.
It's Agnite, so we're expecting a cow. We're expecting some rabbits, maybe some sheep.
Rabbits, all right.
We're trying to get some goats out there.
I think they should just let them loose on, like, a calf scramble. Just let them loose and see if the kids can wrangle them up.
Wrangle up the farm animals on Agnite.
Yeah, so they already get a couple free bounces in the inflatables. They get additional free
go chase the farm.
If they get a rabbit.
Or more like a petting zoo. Okay,
so they can just come and pet
the animals.
Yeah,
and
works
kinda
too.
Learn more about ag life and excited about what that means to our community. And then on Sunday night, it's seniors get in free because it's baseball bingo thanks to Brazos Bingo. But more importantly, someone is going to walk away. I need a drum roll.
I don't have one.
All right. International millionaire. So it's International Millionaire Night. We're going to have booths from different countries. We'll have international music to represent that. We'll also have a jersey that is all flags that will be auctioned off after that night. And that's thanks to Batteries and Plus because they power the world. They'll power an international millionaire. And I'm not kidding you. Someone's walking away with legit international money to become an international millionaire.
Do we know what nation?
It is Vietnamese dong that they will walk away with, and they will get a nice check that says international millionaire, and they will get 2.5 million Vietnamese dong bills.
All right.
So legit, they will be an international millionaire walking away.
That everyone should feel good about that. What else we got coming up?
One of the things that's going on is obviously the playoffs positioning. The Bombers are in first place. They've kind of secured that for first place home field advantage throughout the playoffs, which means right now what's going on. So it looks like the Acadiana Canecutters will finish in second. They will face the Victoria Generals in third place for the first round one and done game. And it looks like we'll face the East Texas Pumpjacks, which didn't like us before today. And I think after today,
the rivalry is on.
The
this
rivalry
is like Astros
is
Rangers.
It is the rivalry on all cylinders hitting. We do have to face them the Thursday and Friday right before we play them in the playoff game, so that should be interesting and some heat there. But the Bombers on the road tonight and tomorrow, back home like we said Saturday and Sunday, and then we'll be back again Tuesday the 28th and the 29th on that Wednesday, which is Strikeout Cancer Night, which is one of my favorite evenings, not because of the cancer portion, but because of the perseverance and how people fight through that awful disease and all the great research that is done in our community and around. And so that's thanks to St. Joseph Health System, and we always do some really cool things, and obviously we'll be on there next week kind of talk about what's going on with that.
Cool. Should be a fun weekend. And tell you what, if it sounds like it should be a fun weekend,